It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're gonna dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Scott Van Pelt joined us in the first hour. We talked a lot about the announcement yesterday at this time. There would be a merger with the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour. Still a lot of questions left unanswered here as we move forward. Who knew? When did they know? And did anybody try to stop this merger from happening? And we don't know what the gory details are as we move forward, but I do think the commissioner of the PGA Tour is in a real difficult spot, a delicate spot. And maybe he did something that is going to help the game down the road. Maybe. But in the interim, if you don't let your golfers know that this is happening, give them a head. They're finding out when we found out yesterday. And to me, given everything that's been said about the LIV Tour by this commissioner to these players, remain loyal. This is about being a patriot. This is, there's the blood on the hands of those who went and took the money from the LIV Tour, all of these things. And then all of a sudden, now these players, they were loyal, and now they're going to be taking that money from the Saudi Tour. I don't know, as you move forward, how you get past this. We get past a lot of things, certainly in sports, but this is one of those that feels like it's going to take a while, and I wonder if the commissioner will survive this. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. And poll question for hour two is going to be what, Seton O'Connor?
Dan, what if we went with who had the worst day yesterday?
We did ask this right after the merger was announced, and it was Rory McIlroy, Brandel Chamblee, and the commissioner, Jay Monahan.
So we could change it up a little bit.
Okay.
We could have Jay Monahan, Natch, Greg Norman. I don't know if he had a good day or a bad day yesterday, honestly.
I saw a tweet where he was like, hey, you know, this is great. Global golf. Let's continue. You know, but it feels like he might have gotten his paycheck, and that's a good paycheck. And they've like, Greg, thank you. We got some nice parting gifts for you. Yes, Paul.
You can make the case both sides. Like Greg Norman is almost like erased from history a little bit with this new partnership, or they're erasing him from the history of it. I'm sure he got paid out. He also doesn't catch any of the heat from yesterday by not being involved. He wasn't at a podium catching heat yesterday.
A great day in global golf for players and fans alike. The journey continues! Exclamation point. That's what Greg Norman tweeted out. Who are you going to put on there, Seton?
I don't know if this is insensitive to put it on there, but Jacob deGrom, he had a tough day yesterday.
Oh, maybe just keep it golf-wise. We'll talk about Jacob deGrom here in a moment because his season is over and another Tommy John. How many Tommy John surgeries can you have? And you start to look at Jacob deGrom and, well, here is Jacob deGrom, who signed with the Rangers and, great pitcher. The team was having a great year. He hadn't done much, but he's done for the year with another Tommy John.
You know, I went through this before, and you know what it takes to get back. So that's the goal. Go out there, you know, rehab as the best I can and be around to help, you know, any way I can. You know, we got a special group here. And then I'll be able to be out there and, you know, help them win. It's tanks. So this is what we love to do. But, you know, finding this out, coming here and wanting to be out here and helping the team, you know, it's a disappointment. So
it's Jacob DeGrom and his second Tommy John surgery. The Mets didn't re-sign him, went to Texas, and I think he had made six starts. We're going to look back on his career. It's going to be a statistical anomaly because he won a couple of Cy Youngs and didn't even come close to winning 20 games. He was 10-9 and 11-8, and he won Cy Youngs. And then during COVID, I think he was 4-2, and probably he was, what, in the top five? I think finished third in Cy Young. He would have had three in a row. But I don't know, like Tim Lincecum. I think Timmy had two Cy Youngs, and they did win, I think, one or two World Series, but he's not going to the Hall of Fame. But Jacob DeGrom and another Tommy John surgery. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, DeGrom, 18 and 19, he had Cy Youngs. In 2020, he almost had one. He was pretty good for the Mets in 2021, and then the injuries mounted up. In the past 3 years, he's averaging about 60 innings per season.
Yeah.
This year, he started out 2-0. Six starts, 2.67 ERA, which is fantastic. Like his ratios are all time. Like his strikeout to walk, his hits, his numbers are all time great, but he just hasn't compiled a lot.
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. You start to look at these pitchers and somebody says, oh, it's a 98 mile an hour sinker. I don't think the arm is built to throw 98 mile an hour sinkers or that often. Or throw 100 miles an hour. I know that technology has gotten better, science has gotten better, but, you know, I don't know if you can build a better elbow or the nerves that you have in your forearm or your rotator cuff. And it still comes down to you can have all the science you want, technology, but can the arm withstand that? And some of these guys, I mean, these are violent, violent pitches that they throw. And Jacob DeGrom is done for the year. And Texas has played really, really well. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DPShow. Rory McIlroy is speaking now, and we'll see if we can gather some of the sound. I know that he said that he sort of knew something was going on. I have to believe this commissioner clued in Rory McIlroy. I think you owe it to him, considering he carried the water for this. He was the front and center person for the PGA Tour. He turned down a reported $400 million to join the LIV Tour. You owe it to him to say, here's the discussions. This is what's going to happen short term. This is what's going to happen long term. Just want to let you know. Yeah, Paul.
Rory in his press just a couple minutes ago said he was told at 6:30 a.m. yesterday that the PGA Tour merger was happening.
Do you have the sound, Marvin? Okay, here's Rory McIlroy.
Jimmy rang me at about 6:30 yesterday morning. We had a chat. Took me through the news, took me through the deal, the structure of the deal, what it meant for us, what it meant for the DP World Tour. So yeah, I learned about it pretty much at the same time everyone else did. And yeah, it was a surprise. I knew there had been discussions going on in the background. I knew that lines of communication had been opened up. I obviously didn't expect it to happen as quickly as it did. But I really think that, you know, from what I gathered, the tour felt they were in a real position of strength coming off the back of the DP World winning their legal case in London. It sort of weakened the other side's position, and you know, they went in there, and you know, the way Jimmy described it, you know, Rory, sometimes you got too itty over water and you just got to go for it.
Okay. Jimmy Dunn's a power broker on the PGA Tour, the World Golf Tour, business guy. Yes, he.
So, I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but Rory basically said he was told we were winning our court cases and had LIV right where we wanted them. that's when we decided to merge.
Yes.
Yeah. What is that? If you're winning, then you don't have to merge.
That was my initial reaction to it. But what did you know? When did you know it? And did you sign off on this? You're getting the feeling that there are maybe some people who knew a little bit more about this than what they're leading on. We have invited everybody, just to let you know. Fritzy was working hard yesterday, starting at about 10:15 yesterday morning. And we've invited the commissioner to Greg Norman, to Rory, to Tiger, to Jack Nicklaus, everybody involved. And we'll see. If down the road somebody wants to talk about that and give us a sense of exactly what happened in that players' meeting with the commissioner yesterday. Yeah, Paulie.
There's a ton of good sound coming from Rory, but I got the feed of him. He looks like a man who just lost his dog. Like, if you're just looking at his language, he looks like a man who just lost a golf tournament and has to talk to the media after. He's got this frumpy face. He feels sad. They asked him about how the sport will look in the future. Like, will it be a live tour style, like on the course? He says, "I still hate live." He means the style of play. I hate them. I hope it goes away.
Yes, it's not golf. Golf is, you know, 72 holes. This is just a concoction to go, "Oh, we're having more fun." Okay, great. You had fun. You made a lot of money, but that's not golf.
We play music.
Yeah, we play music. It's golf, only louder. Okay. So what? If you want to do that for certain events, team events, okay, fine. You know, Phoenix Open, you want to do that? Go ahead. But your goal wasn't to make golf better. It just wasn't. Peacock's place to go for live sports, live games, Major League Baseball, PGA Tour, IndyCar, Peacock, which carries our program. More live sports than any other streaming service. You can check out the sports tab, peacocktv.com, or the Peacock app to learn more. We got a game coming up tonight. It is game 3 in Miami, and Denver is still a 2.5-point favorite. Nick Wright will join us coming up here in a little bit. It's time to play the over-under game. And I'm going to start with Marvin, over-under for the Joker.
28.5.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Right out of the gate. Over-under Jimmy Butler tonight. Marvin?
25.5.
Oh, my gosh.
Get out of here.
Bloop, bloop, bloop.
Why even play?
Over-under Jamal Murray. Marvin?
23.5.
Oh, it's 24.5.
Oh! Almost got the trifecta.
Yeah, dang. Nobody's ever gotten the triple crown.
History?
Yeah, no one ever. There's so many things you can bet on. And are there going to be three or more three-pointers made in the first 3 minutes? Three or more three-pointers made in the first 3 minutes. Yes, plus 320. No, minus 500. I said this, and I believe this. I firmly believe this. If the Miami Heat win the NBA championship, the reason will be Bam Adebayo. If Bam Adebayo is really good offensively and really good defensively, or is able to make the Joker work, they have a great chance to win this. And Bam Adebayo's got to be good at the other end offensively as well. In game 2, when Bam guarded Jokic, he shot 46%. When anybody else guarded him, he shot 77%. That defense is really important. You got to make him work, and you got to make him work at the other end. He's got to respect your offensive game as well. But if they win, it'll be because of Bam Adebayo. A couple of phone calls, then we'll take a break. We'll talk to Nick Wright. Chris in Ohio. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Dan, how we doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I was just thinking about the PGA Tour live litigation. The PGA Tour wanted to end that. You know, they might have some skeletons in the closet, some things in the past that might come out in that, and it's best for them to just end it.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure there are skeletons in the closet on both sides here. But if you have them where you want them, and then you decide to merge, I'm curious, what was your leverage that you had with the LIV Tour? Brent in Alabama. Hi, Brent. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to comment on golf. You hit the nail on the head. I don't know. I want to learn more about this leverage that the PGA thought they had, because it doesn't seem like they had any at all. And in my opinion, I don't think this globalization of golf is going to work out quite as well as they think it's going to, at least financially. The American market, we don't even wake up for the Olympics, and I just don't see the American golf watcher waking up to watch these global events. I think there's an opportunity here for the players to really get together and form their own league for like a Western Golf Alliance, so to speak. It's the only way that they can save it, whether it be political, moral, ethical, however they want to do it, or maybe they just don't want to travel around the world and play golf as much. They want to stay closer to home. I think there's an opportunity here. And as the facts come out, we're going to find out how much money was wasted by the PGA Tour. And I think there could be opportunities for the players to take ownership. They can have equity and form something new. And you know, maybe it's not going to be as big as whatever the PIF is putting together globally, but it might be a more streamlined version of Western golf, and Americans will watch it, and that's a big enough market to make plenty of money.
Thanks. Yeah, I wondered about that. That what if Tiger just said, hey, guys, let's get together and let's form our own golf tour. That's just, you know, what we'll secede from the union here. We'll get sponsors here, and we'll do our own tour. Or we don't want to be governed by the PGA Tour. Like, at this point, I'm just sort of spitballing what is next and what leverage do the players have. And it sounded like PGA Tour had leverage, but they chose to use that leverage to merge with the people that they were in litigation with. Yeah, see.
Sometimes when there's stories like this and the money figures are getting thrown around, I know for me personally, I lose sight of just how much money it is that we're talking about. How much money $1 billion really is. How much money, say, $20 billion, right? We just throw them out there like, oh, yeah, $20 billion, no big deal. It's a crazy amount of money that even...
And that's what the Saudi government reportedly is going to spend on soccer in the next 2 years.
In the next 2 years, right, they've basically pledged $20 billion. So that's enough to give 100 players $200 million apiece. That's basically 9 starting lineups. I mean, that's half of a league. Just in the next 2 years, that's not even the next 5 or 10 years. And that money is not running out anytime soon. Even if you got Tiger Woods and the 100 best players in the world together, you're not even, it's not even a drop in the bucket compared to what they're up against. It's not even close.
We'll take a break and we'll get to more phone calls on this topic. We know you're fired up about it. Want to talk about the game coming up tonight. Our good buddy Nick Wright will join us right after this in the Dan Patrick Show. Weather's getting warmer. Time to think about the three F's that make summer so special. Family, friends, and most importantly, food. King's Hawaiian. They're making Slider Sunday the next great weekly mealtime ritual, the perfect way to kick off your summer. And you could do that with your Traeger grill. The Philly Cheesesteak Slider. KingsHawaiian.com has the recipe. They have all kinds of recipe inspiration for you. Thinly sliced steak. Green peppers, onions. This is when I do my job.
That sounds good, dude.
When I'm a voiceover guy, thinly sliced steak, green peppers, onions, then some provolone prepared on the OG. The King's Hawaiian original sweet roll. You're going to love the great twist on a classic sandwich. How does that sound? That sound good?
It's hot.
Thank you. King's Hawaiian wants you to be able to make every Sunday a slider Sunday. Sometimes I'll throw a changeup or a fastball. But if I'm going to throw a slider, it's King's Hawaiian Slider Sunday.
Very wise of you.
Thank you, Todd. King's Hawaiian, enjoy. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm not sure the context of this. I just saw the quote. Stephen A. Smith referred to Nikola Jokic as a tub of lard that can't jump on a curb. Is he trying to say that in spite of that, he's one of the better players in the league? Or he's, I think the conversation had to do with most unstoppable player in the NBA. And he said it's not the Joker, it's Steph Curry. Yes, Paulie.
The narrative of Jokic being out of shape is really about 4 years ago. You know, if you made that case 5 years ago, 4 years ago, you're like, okay, he's not in classically great shape. But I think that's a pretty dated reference.
What's that say about the NBA and the players he goes against if he's a fat tub of lard and he can't jump on a curb? He's still pretty dominating. Let's bring in Nick Wright, co-host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1, and subscribe to What's Right with Nick Wright on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. What are you hot on today?
Hi, how are you?
Great.
Thank you for the podcast and YouTube show plug, along with the, you know, surging television show. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, I'd love to talk NBA Finals with you. I heard what you were saying about Jokic. I agree with Paulie. Jokic did used to be out of shape. He no longer is. He's still incredibly unathletic, but that, you know, there are things I keep hearing, for example, how untalented the Miami Heat are. That may or may not be true, but if it is true, it means we overvalue talent or we misevaluate talent, because what the Miami Heat do is find a way to win. That, did you know the Heat lead the NBA in playoff victories over the last 4 years? Think about that. The Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler and fringe all-star Bam Adebayo. And then on a similar note, Jokic, he's obviously unathletic, but he has solved offense as much as a player can solve it. And I guess we're splitting hairs, the most dominant offensive player, Steph or Jokic, but it's clearly one of the two of them.
Who would you side with there?
Historically, obviously, Steph. Right now in the moment, it's Jokic. Right now, listen, and I had been a Jokic, call it critic or skeptic, any of those things. But my biggest complaint was we were not making him go through the steps we made everyone else go through before they were anointed the best player in the league and multiple MVPs, damn near three straight MVPs. The rules have always been, you can get to a point through regular season play and then a totally different place through postseason play. And this year, even if they don't win the title, he has gotten to that place through a dominant postseason. Now, what I do think is, you know, going into the playoffs, I would have said Giannis is the best player in the league. He lost to Miami, so everyone stripped him of it. Jokic is the obvious heir apparent. If Jokic also loses to Miami, I don't know that Giannis should be penalized because he did the order of operations. If Miami beats them both, Giannis might retain the crown, but that's because Giannis is a dominant defensive player and Jokic is limited on that end.
Well, I think sometimes, well, we're guilty of style points. Steph gives us style points. There's guys who give us style points. Zion, he's exciting when he plays. John, sure. He's exciting when he plays. What's the result? With Joker, he doesn't have style points. But he's great.
I think that was used against Giannis as well, though. If you remember, we had people arguing Giannis, you know, Giannis versus Anthony Davis was a debate AD won for a while. Giannis versus Kevin Durant is a debate Durant in some corners still wins because Giannis doesn't have the bag. Giannis doesn't have the quote-unquote skill. But up until this year, the game five of that series against Miami, obviously very rough for him at the end, his lack of a jump shot or his hit-and-miss free throw shooting had never really cost him since he had become this fully realized version of himself. My concern on Jokic was in a playoff series when instead of running your offense, you hunt mismatches and you get the worst defender in a screen and run pick and roll, is he going to be able to hold up? And the answer has been resoundingly yes. He has been an adequate defender and a dominant offensive player. Can we talk a bit about the when he scores a bunch, they lose thing?
Okay.
So, yeah. So, all right. So I actually think there is a ton of history backing that up, not involving him necessarily. So his four highest scoring playoff games of his career, they're 0-4. Do you think it's fair to call Jokic a point center?
Yes.
Okay. Isaiah Thomas, the sprained ankle game, his only 40-point career playoff game, they lost. Isaiah Thomas's five highest scoring career playoff games, losses. Steve Nash's three highest scoring playoff games, losses. Stockton's three highest scoring, losses. Magic's three highest scoring, losses. There absolutely is something too when the guy who gets everyone involved has to take on the scoring burden. It can have downstream effects, not only on your offense, but what made Isaiah, the original Isaiah, so brilliant is he understood this offensive possession might not be the most efficient if I go through Rick Mahorn, but I get the best version of Rick Mahorn if he knows he's going to be able to touch the ball occasionally. If Michael Porter Jr. had gotten a bunch of clean looks and made them early in game two, I think his defense would have been better later in game two.
Sure.
So I know Spo tried to dismiss it. I absolutely think it is their strategy and it is a smart strategy of let Jokic create 55 points where it is 45 him scoring, 10 him assisting, as opposed to 30-25 splits. And I think that's how the Heat win the title.
Well, the Heat win the title if Bam Adebayo keeps Jokic honest both ends of the floor.
Yep.
Because if you look at what Bam did guarding him, last game, Jokic scored, I think, his field goal percentage was 46%. Everybody else, when they guarded him, it was 77%. 70. So yeah. If he keeps him honest at both ends, then they can win this thing.
They also, with Bam, I don't know, I'm sure you noticed, you have a very, you know, refined basketball eye. But they had Bam doing some of the point center stuff, bringing the ball up the court, which is an odd way. It's kind of like the offensive equivalent of when someone guards Steph the moment he brings the ball in. It's like he's not going to turn the ball over in the backcourt, but it wears on him a bit. Yeah. When the guy Jokic is guarding is initiating the offense, it gives him no time to rest. Even if he's not going to be out there, he's got to be locked in, paying attention. And so the interesting thing to me is, what does Miami do in the 8 minutes a game Bam has to sit? If he gets in foul trouble, they're cooked. They got no chance. Zeller is not playable. They have another seven-footer named Omer Yurtseven. He's not going to play. The other 6'10 guy is Nikola Jovic, the rookie. He's not ready. And then they do have a guy your age, Dan.
Kevin Love.
UD.
Udonis Haslem.
Udonis Haslem. Dust him off. Let him get 90 seconds to commit three hard fouls.
He doesn't
let him do it.
He doesn't have shorts underneath his warm-ups. Oh.
Let him do it. Can you imagine UD if the swan song of his career is 2 minutes of hard fouls on the league MVP?
I love it. Sure.
I because you can't play Zeller.
No.
You know, I believed at one point the Heat were playing Zeller as a psychological ploy against their opponent. I maybe told you this. I'm not sure. That it's like, all right, hey, guys, we're going to give this premature balding white guy with a mask 8 minutes a night. Just because it naturally is going to make the other team take us less seriously, and we're going to take advantage. But at this point, it's run its course. It's just run its course.
He's Nick Wright, co-host of First Things First on Fox Sports 1, and subscribe to What's Right with Nick Wright on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks. Who do you think leaked the story that Kyrie was recruiting LeBron to Dallas?
Oh, this is so fascinating. There's so many. This is such. This is a really fascinating like piece of journalism, the Chris Haynes story, the full Chris Haynes story. So now I understand somehow that in some quarters they're like, oh, obviously LeBron did this or Clutch did this. I don't see of the candidates for leaking, I don't see what they had to gain from this. But there are pieces of this that I think came from all different sources. So I think the genesis of this report is Kyrie, not because he thinks LeBron is going to get bought out by the Lakers and sign with the Mavs for the minimum, because that can't happen. And the Mavs are not going to be able to trade for LeBron. I think Kyrie wanted this out there to engender support from the Mavs to give him a max contract. Look, guys, I'm already recruiting. I'm all in. You get in the Kyrie Irving business, maybe not this year, but in a future year, maybe you get in the LeBron James business. Maybe you get in a different superstar business, because no matter what the media thinks of me being Kyrie, other NBA players like me. I'm very popular. People like my game. So this is, I think, Kyrie trying to look like a good employee. But the other most interesting part of that story was in the initial write-up of it, Chris Haynes wrote, the Mavs had discussions prior to the deadline about trading for LeBron James. That is before when the Lakers were floundering. That's what was written.
Yeah.
I and then others pointed out literally ineligible to be traded, because of when he signed his contract, he literally couldn't be traded. They could have offered Luka and 30 first round picks and the Lakers would have had to say, sorry, not allowed. Haynes then added a line to it that said they had discussion about trading for LeBron, comma, despite the fact they were not able to. So that's a weird meeting. It's like, hey, guys, I got an idea to trade for LeBron. Someone else is like, yeah, let's trade for LeBron. And then somebody in the back who took Bobby Marks' CBA course is like, not allowed. They're like, okay, good meeting. So here is what's noteworthy. That couldn't have come from Kyrie, because that is reporting on something that happened before they even had Kyrie. So why was that in the story? Here's my hypothesis. The Mavs leaked that part of it to engender loyalty from Luka. Look, man, we're trying everything. We will do anything to make this team better, up to and including trying to trade for players who are not trade eligible. We just want you to be happy. So I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of signaling going on through this reporting. But ultimately, I think Kyrie's going to be a Mav on a more expensive contract than I would pay, and LeBron's going to be a Laker next year.
Yeah, but why don't you leak a trade rumor that has to do with somebody that you can actually acquire?
Yeah, I think that was a misstep. I got to tell you, I think that was
like Dame Lillard.
Sloppy.
Hey, we're trying to get Dame Lillard. Okay, there's validity to that.
I think it was, again, I'm just speculating here, and maybe this is poor form by me. Maybe I shouldn't do this. I think it's because Luka has talked about that LeBron was his idol, that this was the player he most looked up to, and LeBron is like the only superstar in the league that carries that level of weight, along with Luka recognizing it would still be my team because he's so old. You know what I mean? Like, if you say Dame, there are people out there like, Dame's better than Luka. I think they're wrong. But so I But the problem was, of course, he was not eligible.
But yeah, but here's the thing with Luka. If I'm Luka and they go, oh my God, they're trying to get my idol here. And then you realize that your organization doesn't know that they can't get LeBron. Then
yeah,
you're
that's
going,
a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look foolish. I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I think it was, you know, it was said in a reporter's ear without necessarily thinking it was going to become one of the major tent poles of the story and then have jerks like me be like, literally can't do it. And yeah, now you're kind of boxed in. Again, I'm speculating here. I don't know.
What happens tonight?
The Heat win, man.
Okay.
The Heat are going to win the title. But Dan, I'm
and your favorite player, Reggie Miller, said the Heat in six, just letting you know, Nick.
Reggie Miller. So here's an interesting thing, and then I'll get to the game. Put Reggie and Jimmy's careers side by side.
Yeah, regular season, postseason. We've talked about
it. It's really interesting. Okay, so you guys talked about it. My apologies.
Yeah, we have.
The all-star appearances, the all-NBAs,
sure,
the playoff stuff, it is very similar. And I've maybe been a little harsh on Reggie on this show to
kind
of needle you.
Yes, I have.
I've said this privately, but I'll say it publicly. Reggie is the best 18-3-3 guy in league history, and I don't even think it's deniable. Now,
you're such
to
an
the
ass.
Miami. This is just what he is.
You know, you're like just Stephen A. Hey, you're going to call Joker a fat, you know, tub of lard.
Well, that reference is dated. Those 18-3-3 are etched in stone. Those ain't changing, buddy. He ain't going back. But
come postseason, you don't want to mess with Reggie.
No, listen, of course. And there's a lot of legend that comes with having a legitimate 7-game series with Jordan, one of only two guys to do it, and having a legitimate blood feud with one of America's greatest filmmakers. That, you know, I mean, those things carry a lot of weight. Now,
and he got into a fight with Michael Jordan. He wasn't afraid of Michael Jordan.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to take any more shots at Reggie Miller. I'm just not going to do it. You're trying to bait me.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to prevent you from embarrassing yourself.
I'm not embarrassing.
Yes, Listen. You are. Yes, you are. Be nice. Listen. Try it.
I have a lot of respect for the 79th greatest player in the history of the NBA. A lot. Now, if I may resume.
Final 30 seconds. Let's go.
The Heat are going to win the title, Dan. And Jimmy Butler is going to be on stage holding the Larry O'Brien and the Bill Russell, or maybe Bam's holding the Bill Russell. And that's going to be the image. And the next morning on sports television, someone's going to give a list of top five contenders for next season. And the Heat aren't going to be
on. Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be, and we're going to have this Chiron on the bottom of our TV shows. The Miami Heat champions, but were they any good? ? I mean, there is nothing this team's going to be able to do to gain people's respect up to and including beating the Bucks.
The same with
Celtics,
the Nuggets.
And then the Nuggets.
If the Nuggets win, it'll be Nuggets win title. What are the Lakers' chances next year?
Well, no, but people understand the Nuggets are awesome. They might be boring, but people know they're awesome. People don't think the Heat are awesome. That's a different. You and Michael Malone can complain that, oh, I'm sorry, where we spend more time talking about Tom Cruise than Paul Thomas Anderson. Like, oh, but look at the filmographies. Give me a break. That's what America is. I'm sorry that Keeping Up with the Kardashians outrates Downton Abbey, but that is society. Don't argue with the consumer about what they want. Stop that, Michael Malone and Dan Patrick.
I'm not saying anything other than you guys fall victim to, let's talk the Cowboys and the Lakers every single day.
And I'm telling you, first of all, haven't talked to the Cowboys. Talked to them yesterday. Prior to that, haven't talked to them in 2 months.
The Lakers are interesting.
The Lakers are interesting. They were the 13th seed. They made the conference finals. They have the greatest player of all time. They're interesting.
What does Micah Parsons think of the Live Tour? That's what we're going to bring up later on today on First Things
okay,
First.
You know what?
What's LeBron think of Jay Monahan as commissioner moving forward?
You know what? Okay. That's fine.
All right.
We all do our own thing.
I know.
Everybody.
I know, but you were just criticizing me because I brought up the Nuggets there, and you said, oh, you and Michael Malone, and I call him Mike, by the way.
Well, you're not supposed to call him Mike.
Oh, I know, but I do.
Oh, you do. Okay,
no,
that's
I don't.
All right, sorry, we're late. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
All right, that's first things first. That's Nick Wright. Subscribe to What's Right with Nick Wright on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. I don't know if we solved anything, but then we rarely do. We'll take a break. Phone calls are next here on the Dan Patrick Show. If you've listened to the show, you've probably heard me talk about Simply Safe, and why not? Best home security system of 2023, 2022, 2021 by U.S. News and World Report. So they could sit back and go, let's rest on our laurels. That is not the case. Constantly innovating and evolving, and they're here to protect you. They have the new 2-in-1 smoke and CO detector, next generation hazard detection that distinguishes between a fire and cooking smoke, so your home is protected when you get fewer false alarms. I think we've all had that where you're cooking something and then you forget to turn on the fan, and then all of a sudden the fire alarm goes off, and then you got the fire department calls you up. You don't have to worry about that with the new smoke and CO detector. It's Simply Safe's comprehensive suite of advanced security cameras, sensors, and hazards. Going to cost about under $1 a day. Go to simplysafedan.com to get 20% off your system. Simplysafedan.com. There's no safe like Simply Safe. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick.
I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get ready for more USFL. First up on USA and Peacock, the New Orleans Breakers take on the Memphis Showboats. Then NBC and Peacock, Birmingham Stallions square off against the Houston Gamblers. This is the USFL. Are we any closer to Lionel Messi moving to Miami to take over or be the star of Inter Miami in the MLS? Yes, Seton O'Connor.
As Paula just said, lots of smoke around it. A lot of people reporting it. There's really, honestly, there's this one dude in soccer media who is as good as it gets. He's once he confirms, once Fabrizio Romano confirms and he says, here we go, Messi's going to Miami, that's when it's 100% locked in.
Okay.
That's what we're waiting on.
What is he getting if he goes to the MLS?
The reports say that he'll be getting a piece of MLS's revenue from Apple and their deal with MLS, plus a piece of anything generated by Adidas once he signs with Inter Miami.
Can he play anymore?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
What happened with PSG?
He was great with PSG. I mean, he just won Ballon d'Or a year ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, he's still, and especially I think if he's going to MLS, he'll be able to play at a high level.
Okay.
In that league.
Yes, Paul.
So a couple hours ago, a reporter who works for a bunch of different places, BBC, CBS, Guillaume Balage, I think that's how to pronounce his name, he tweeted out this: Messi has decided his destination, Inter Miami. And all the other reports are based off this one guy, like all the other saying, Messi going to Miami based off this guy. So that's all we have so far.
All right.
This reminds me, I think it was the first week we did this show, or first weeks we did with the show, is when David Beckham agreed to come to the LA Galaxy back in the fall of 07.
Doug in North Carolina. Hi, Doug. What's on your mind?
Dan, I want to try a dad joke on Live News. I am told, if you're cool with this, I'm told that under the merger, PGA rules will be in force on the first 8 holes of a tournament and then on holes 12 through 18, which would mean the Saudis are responsible for 9/11.
Thank you, Doug. Let's see. Barry in Santa Fe. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, fellows. Good morning, chat row. Shame to hear about Jacob deGrom. And I was watching the Mets-Braves game yesterday. It turns out that the Atlanta organist is the Fritzy of MLB. When the Mets would come up, he'd try and play a cute song.
Mm-hmm.
He played the Brady Bunch theme for Brett Beatty, Candyman for Francisco Lindor, Lindor Chocolates, the Mr. Ed theme for Eduardo Escobar.
Okay.
And the Finding Nemo theme for Brandon Nimmo.
Okay. It sounds like something you would do.
That's fabulous. It's very creative. Why not? I do like that.
Tom in Iowa. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yesterday, as the Live Tour stuff was breaking out, all I could think about was here, you know, a month ago, PGA tournament, and then afterwards, a lot of the PGA guys, the premier guys, really softened their stance on the Live Tour golfers. You had John Rahm saying that they should be involved in the Ryder Cup, get all the best golfers in the world. It makes you wonder if they were told to, you know, kind of back off, let's take the high road, or if they knew something. I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that.
Well, I think having the U.S. Open, you also had the Ryder Cup coming up. I think, and maybe they're getting tired of talking about it, or the passion wasn't there as much. It certainly felt like it weighed on and Rory more than anybody else. And we have some sound from Rory's press conference that I'll play for you coming up top of next hour, where he says he still hates Live Tour and he feels like he's a sacrificial lamb. And I could understand that he would feel that way. If he found out same time we did, they did a real disservice to him. But he talked about a couple hours before that he found out, but what say did he have in this? Did he have to approve this? If you have a policy board where there's five players involved in it, I just have to imagine your commissioner is going to say, guys, this is going to happen. Now, you might say, you don't have any input on this. I'm telling you it's going to happen as a heads up. But I have to believe that you would say to Rory and Tiger, hey, guys, just letting you know, this is where we are. This is going to happen, and this is why it's going to happen. I'll give you more details later, but I'm going to go on CNBC and do an interview here. I just don't want you blindsided. I would think that would be the approach there. More phone calls coming up, final hour on this Wednesday. Is NBA Commissioner Adam Silver on the program tomorrow?
He sure is.
Okay. That's interesting. And then I had new information I saw on John Morant that now John Morant says reportedly that was a toy gun that he had in the last video. Final hour coming up.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time with the players and coaches who lived in them. Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl? Or what about the after parties? We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.